You are listening to the Gay Florida Man Podcast. This podcast is hosted by retired corrections officer Mark DeWolf, who will discuss various topics prevalent to corrections, gay culture, arts and entertainment, as well as current events. Listeners need to be advised that this podcast will discuss situations involving extreme violence, substance abuse, sexual assault, and murder. Details of actual events have been modified so as to protect the privacy of involved parties.
Welcome back to the Gay Florida Man Podcast. This is episode 37, and I want to be the first to tell you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, because the season is here. But for the Gay Florida Man Podcast, we're not going to be doing any Christmas celebrating. We're still in the mode of Halloween, because we're going to be talking today about the 2003 film Wrong Turn. And if you haven't seen it, you really should, because this is a fantastic film. It came out in 2003. It had a budget of about $12,600,000. Pretty modest budget, I guess, by today's standards. But again, this was 2003. It made about $15 million in the U.S. and Canada, and gross worldwide about $28 million. But I'm sure with video and the sequels, it's made a lot more money than that. I can tell you that this movie was a roller coaster. It's intense. It's fun. Pop some popcorn. Download it. Stream it. Whatever you got as far as your media. So joining me once again is my fellow horror fanatic. So, Robbie, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself?
Not too good. I went to the gym this morning, and you always tease me about my age. And so I was at the gym this morning, and I was trying to find some music to get motivated. And, Robbie, I'm at that age. I was listening to Neil Diamond at the gym.
Okay,
you don't even know who that is.
I do.
You know, between like Barry Manilow, Peter, Paul and Mary, Simon and Garfunkel, Neil Diamond. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm at that age. This is my gym workout music. And it's pretty scary.
I don't know how you work out to like Carol King, but I mean, go for it. How about it?
They're coming to America today. It was a good workout. I did arms today. I felt pretty good.
And when you say arms, I'm assuming it was like your Jane Fonda, just like punching the air slowly in your spandex.
Water aerobics.
And yep. Okay.
With the foam weights. Yes.
Your little floaties. Yes. Okay.
Because my joints are all shot in my knees. So I got to get in the pool. So are you ready for Christmas?
No, not at all. Never am, always never will be. Don't know if any of that made sense, but definitely not.
You and Kurt are putting up the decorations today.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of a late start. We did the inside of the house, and then we had some family staying with us this weekend. So now that they're That's gone, nice. We kind of just jumped into it and started putting the outside stuff together. And in doing so, we were tripping some stuff in the house, the electricity. So.
Oh.
We are trying to figure out what the hell we're going to do. So yeah, so if this gets interrupted for whatever reason, most likely because we have lost power and Wi-Fi momentarily.
Kurt is playing Clark Griswold out on the front lawn. Is that what's happening at your house?
Yes. It's happening right now as we speak as I look out the window. Correct.
Well, you know, maybe if Uncle Eddie's at the curb telling you that the shitter is full, then it will be a complete Christmas.
Oh, movie.
It is such a great movie. I guess in one of the cons, I think it was in, was it Steel City Con? They had a reunion with Christie Brinkley, Chevy Chase, and Beverly D'Angelo. And I posted a picture of that, and I think some video on the Gay Florida Man Podcast Facebook page.
Holy shit. I did not see that.
And Santa left a message, if you look at the reels, on the Facebook page for the Gay Florida Man Podcast today, a very nice message. And he was specifically talking to naughty boys. So make sure you check that out, because that's what Santa likes. He likes the naughty ones.
Oh my gosh. You
perverted?
Yep. No, not at all. Just a little angel.
I'm an altar boy.
Yeah.
I got walking used by off, father. Honey. Now, what's on your Christmas list this year? What is Kurt going to, if he's a good husband, a good spouse, what is he going to be getting you? What creepy horror-related items are on Robbie's list this year?
Hell's bells. Well,
don't say anything normal, because this, we're doing a horror episode because we're talking about Wrong Turns. Don't disappoint Robbie.
Oh, Jesus. Way to put me on the spot. Let's figure this out. It would be
a partridge and a pear tree.
I know. I don't know. What about you? Come back to me. What about you? What are you wanting?
You know, ultimately, the end goal, is I definitely want that Psycho House, but I don't think Santa's going to give me that. So,
no?
You know, I got some projects, and I know you're aware of it, but this next year, I want to get back into video production and get the Gay Florida Man podcast more into the visual stuff on YouTube. Hopefully, Santa and his reindeers will be bringing me some type of resource to allow me to acquire that equipment again, updated HD stuff like camera and that sort of thing. You know, light set, wireless mics. That's what I want to get. That's what I would like to see. And there is a new prop I told you about that I am currently paying on. So that will be arriving.
Yes.
You know, and then we'll talk about the remake of Poltergeist at some point because of that. But
Oh my gosh.
Lots going on.
Off the top of my head, I never really thought about it. But some of the movies that are extremely close, near and dear to my heart, I would have to say I would pay decent money as well as parts of my body for the Strangers film. I would want the masks from all three of the killers.
You know, is there a baby face mask or something?
Yeah, there's like two doll masks. One doll mask has a kind of like a rabbit looking cuteness to it. The other one is like a porcelain doll. And the other one, honestly, is just like a potato sack. But if I could find those, that would be massive, because that's probably one of my favorite horror films that are newer, of course. You know, keeping in mind that nothing will ever surpass Halloween for me, but The Strangers was incredible and is a staple. When Halloween rolls around, that is a staple. We can watch any kind of other horror movie, you know, every other day as the month continues, but The Strangers is always one that will be near and dear to my heart.
All right. Well, you know, when you talk about selling body parts, I think that's a good segue into tonight's movie. Of course, these guys didn't pay for anything, and I'm going to tell you right now, for anybody listening, there are going to be spoilers, because we're going to dive in and we're going to talk about a movie that I hope most people have seen, that if you like horror movies. That is the 2003 version of Wrong Turn. What did you think of that movie, Robbie?
It is one of my, I have to say, it's one of my go-tos. I absolutely have a man crush. I can't say man crush because I'd be talking about a man. Anyways, I have a crush on Eliza Dushku just because she is badass. And I've loved her ever since the days of when she played Faith on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV series.
Of course, yep.
I have always loved her. She's always just been a badass kind of girl and a character. And then when Wrong Turn came out, she did not disappoint at all, one bit.
Did you know she did a lot of her own stunts in that movie?
Yes, which, badass. Again, it's super badass. Like, to have an actress that wants to do her own stunts and gets her way, because a lot of movies, for the most part, if there's an actress or a high-profile actor or actress that is cast in a role and there is some serious stunts involved, they will not allow you to, whether you want to or not, just because of your high profile. They can't allow anything to happen to you. And at this point, I think she was still not a huge name, but damn, I think that's what lends my attraction, or just like my favoritism for her, is that she's not afraid to get her hands dirty, to get hurt, to do her own shit.
One of the things that was cool is the fact that they didn't just have a leading lady in this. It was a leading couple, because it was Eliza and then Desmond Harrington, who played Chris Flynn. The two of them together kind of led through the movie, and they both survive. And that Correct. Was kind of unique. Yep. You know, that was really cool that they took that angle. It was different. And I tell you, my father watched this movie, and he cannot stand horror movies. He just thinks they're stupid and predictable. But if a movie is not predictable, he'll actually enjoy it if he can't figure out where it's going. And you know what? He loved Wrong Turn.
Really?
Yeah. He loved Wrong Turn, and he loved the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because Arlie Ermey was in that. He was one of the family members in Texas Chainsaw. And because my dad was a Marine, of course, he sees another Marine. Oh, who? What? He's in this? And then he automatically loves the movie.
That's favoritism.
Yeah, right. It's the whole Marine Corps thing. I doubt you know this, but today, the day that we're talking about Wrong Turn, is the anniversary of the death of Sawtooth, Gary Robbins, the actor that played Sawtooth, who was the one that shot the state trooper with the arrows. He died several years ago. This is the anniversary today.
Holy shit. Yeah. I did not know that.
It came up at my feet. He died 9 years ago, 2013.
Oh, man.
Crazy. He used to be a professional wrestler up in Canada, but the guy was massive, and I have his costume. You've seen it in the living room, and the guy is huge. Yep.
Massive. Yeah, huge.
Massive. He was very intimidating, perfect for that role.
His character being able to be so, at first, sometimes, of course, I get cynical and I'm like, so good at his bow and arrow when they're up in the trees and they're like, and I'm like, okay, so the camera's panning all the way the fuck down to the ground. So it looks like they're, I don't know, on the 20th floor of a building, but he's still getting these arrows at their feet. But then it's still so damn good that he, like, that's his bread and butter. That's his thing. And the arrow to the sheriff's eye, again, just getting, you know, getting prepared and wanting to watch this again recently. When the sheriff, you know, says, are you guys the one that called me from the watchtower? And then, boom, he gets the arrow right in his fucking face. It kind of caught me off guard again, but it's so goddamn good. So good.
When this movie came out, I went and saw it four times. I kept bringing different friends to it because I'm like, God, you got to watch this movie. It's not very long. It's like an hour and 15 and hour and 20 minutes. It's such a roller coaster, but yet the script is so tight. It's so put together because you do not get bored. There's no downtime in this movie. They use any space between action sequences, and you're learning about the characters and you're actually caring about them. You know, you got the relationship between two of them that's happening with Francine and Evan. Remember, Evan gets his ear cut off, I think.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, Evan back in the day, God damn, was that one smoking motherfucker. He was hot, man. Kevin Zegers, is it? Zegers?
Is it Zegers? I can't remember.
I don't know. I just like to look at him. But him and Lindy went on to appear again together in the Dawn of the Dead remake in the
mall. Correct. Yep. Yeah.
Where Kevin was kind of like a little bit of a nerdy security guard. Still cute, though. But so the movie starts out, and you've got your, I think he was a doctor, right? Chris Flynn?
Correct, yep.
And his classic 67 Mustang, and he's late for an appointment, so he has to find some way to get to the appointment, and he decides to take a wrong turn. Goes down this like path that's not very well marked. He stops at the gas station and runs into that old man with one tooth who is chugging Pepto-Bismol. And it's like running off of his lip.
Fucking grossed me out.
Yeah, it was. Can you imagine like going out one night and getting really fucking hammered, waking up the next day and you're next to him in bed? Has that ever happened to you?
No.
Okay, well, I mean, there's been a couple of times I woke up next to a guy that wasn't that good looking. I'm going to tell you that right now. Mistakes happen with booze. I'm just warning you, folks. Talk about spoilers. So Chris Flynn, he takes his path, and then he runs into this Range Rover that has razor wire wrapped around the tire and is broken down. Now all these kind of like entitled asshole kids come out, And they're like, good job, you fucking asshole, blah, blah, blah. You're going to have to pay for this. This is my mom's. And so they partake through the wilderness to try to find help. And they stumble upon this, you know, quaint little cabin in the woods. Really nice, fresh-looking snacks in the fridge.
I'm going to punch you through this microphone right now. Quaint little cabin, my ass.
So gross.
Oh, God.
But, you know, I forgot to mention, though, when the movie first opens up, you've got your rock climbers. And again...
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
The movie takes off like a shotgun blast, and you're immediately intrigued and interested on the edge of your seat. Back to these kids in the cabin, you get to meet these three deformed mountain men in West Virginia, even though it was filmed in Canada, but the story takes place in West Virginia, and you got these three mountain men and not very nice guys, but like you had brought up, excellent hunters. Which one of the three of these guys is the most intimidating to you, Robbie?
Probably, is it Sawtooth, you said?
Sawtooth is the big guy with the bow and arrows.
Uh-huh.
Three Finger is the one in the tree that does the high-pitched laugh with the knives. Ted Clark plays One Eye. He's kind of got like the red plaid shirt, and he chops off the head of the state trooper with the hatchet.
I feel like that third one that you just said, I feel like he wasn't as given much screen time or given much notoriety, I guess.
Right.
Because
right.
You definitely see Sawtooth, and then you see the other dude, the Three Finger, because he is fucking creepy. That motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
So, to answer your question, I would probably be most intimidated with Sawtooth, just because he is so fucking good at what he does. But
because of his weapon of choice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he's just Legolas or whatever, and elfin ancestry. He's really good with a bow and arrow. So,
Robin Hood.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the other guy, Three Finger, he's just fucking creepy. His fucking tongue sounds gross me the fuck out. Like,
oh yeah.
And he's like lapping at water. His tongue makes the weirdest god awful sound. I don't know. He's just fucking creepy. And he's like a spider monkey in that goddamn tree, which again is really cool just because it shows that they've been doing this for God knows how long. Those woods are, it's their backyard. They know their way in and out. They know their way up and down, and there's no getting away from them once you're in their territory. But yeah, I'd have to say Sawtooth. That guy's fucking scary.
Okay, personally for me, if I had to battle one of those guys face-to-face, I would rather battle Three Finger because he's scrawnier, and I think I would have a better chance with him. If I was running away, if it was running, I would rather deal with Sawtooth. One Eye, I don't know. You're right. He just wasn't as prominent as the other two. The other two are more featured. All three of them are so great. What was your favorite overall death with all these kids in this movie?
Ooh, I was going to say there's a tie, but I would have to say the one that comes out on top is Dumb Bitch.
Francine? Francine got the razor wire in the mouth.
Correct. That was the one with the blue tank top that got her face.
Carly.
For one, she started bugging the shit out of me as soon as her boyfriend got shot in the back those three times.
Scott.
And then she, correct. I guess her character, she did a good job. I have to admit, because I got irritated with her, so she did a good job of portraying that, like,
annoying.
Everything's lost, like, we're all gonna die, there's no use in running.
Let's just
give up now. Yeah, exactly. And so it really pissed me off, especially when you said, like, the movie's nonstop. The part that really kind of like irritated me was you see the main guy, the one that survives.
Chris Flynn. Yeah.
He gets a fucking rifle/shotgun bullet to his fucking calf, but yet he's still like chugging along. And then little Miss Tiny Tits over here, she's like, my boyfriend's dead and we might as well give up. And then they sit down when they take the brother's truck. And they get it stuck in the mud, and when there's, like, those trees that have fallen down or whatever, that block in the roadway.
Uh-huh.
And then she sits down, and she's like, I can't.
I can't go on.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, fuck you. Okay, bye. I still want to live, and I'm not going to try to convince you that your life is worth living. Nope, I don't have time for that shit. So that kind of irritated me, and that was the slowest part of the movie, where I was like, just leave her ass behind. Jesus. Why are we putting this much energy?
You can't do that. Robbie, you can't leave a man behind.
I would. Apparently.
Well, I know you would. But okay, so now let's just say it was Evan, okay? You know, Kevin Zegers. If he was the one crying and he was your partner, I'd fucking put him over my shoulder. I'd carry him the rest of the way. Am I shallow?
Well, because you're talking about Mr. Zegers. If it were fucking
Mr. Zegers, you're so professional, Robbie.
If it was little Miss Crybaby, I'm not going to put her over my shoulder to slow my ass down. No.
If you'd watched him as much as I have, then you would know it's Kev. Okay.
Oh, God. Okay. My apologies. Jesus.
If you're saying that Carly is your favorite kill, is that what we're saying here?
Yeah, I would say so, just because I think the camera work that is done on it is incredible, because that you, of course, you see her, she tries to walk out, she gets the arrow gets close to her foot, and she like stumbles back, and then she rests up against the tree trunk, and then you see the shadow of Three Finger come up, and then the next thing you see is the camera zooming out of her pupil.
Yep.
And then it goes to an overhead view of her body hitting the branches while the top of her head is still sitting on top of the axe or the knife or whatever
that
he used. And I thought that was fucking incredible. That was a great kill in my opinion.
I agree. And that's the kill that I was going to say that was my favorite. When you see her head resting on the top of the axe that is embedded in the tree, and her body is bouncing between the branches as it goes down.
So good.
I'd heard from a friend of mine, Cesar. I don't know if you heard the episode about special effects from a couple of weeks ago, Cesar DeCall. He had talked about being in one of the workshops up in Canada, and that mannequin body, that jointed body of Carly's, was in the studio, and he had seen it there. He'd seen, you know, which is pretty cool.
Oh my God. How fucking cool would that be?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I would have stole that. Yeah.
I would have rather, you know, had something from Kev, but, you know, that's just me.
God, his underwear? Fuck, Jesus. Oh,
now,
my God.
We're on the same page finally.
God.
I don't even know where to go from there, you know.
I was going to say, though, what was a close tie for me was the first girl that died. What was her name? God, you're just help me out here.
Francine, the red-haired girl.
Francine, yes.
Yeah.
Her kill wasn't remarkable, but her body, when it hits the ground in the cabin and they're looking at her, like, face-to-face, that
her corpse, yes, all the blood's pouring out of the mouth and the wound.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just that look is so fucking good. In reality, like, that barbed wire that is like threaded in with razor blades is incredible. Like, that was remarkable makeup work, or a dummy or whatever they'd used. It was bomb. It looked so fresh, so real. I fucking loved it, because they were just sitting there. You're staring at her corpse that is less than a foot away from you, it looks like, or from them.
Your best friend is literally bleeding out right in front of you. Or if you make one sound, you're going to end up just like her. You're going to be breakfast.
Yep. Oh, my God. Again, the kill was good. It wasn't my favorite, but I think seeing the aftermath of the kill and seeing the barbed wire or the razors that were embedded, basically almost, if not halfway through her skull, a little bit more than that, I thought that was fucking great.
You know, the best way to describe this movie, it's like Deliverance on steroids, because everything that was left to the imagination in Deliverance, Wrong Turn shows you the violence of these fucking guys. And
Very well said.
And Deliverance, you know, it wasn't so much about killing and eating the people. It was just about raping. But this one, where they're dissecting and cutting, and you're seeing it happen, nothing's left to the imagination.
See, you say male-on-male rape. I say the original Brokeback Mountain. Okay? So it was two lovers.
But no means no.
He never said no. He only squealed. That was in delight.
He didn't say anything because his mouth was full of cock. Fucking inbred cock, Robbie.
Yes.
I got to tell you a story years ago, my friend John, Officer Johnny, for the purpose of the people that listen to this podcast. But we had this discussion working late one night at the prison, and we were reminiscing about, like, you know, when you hit puberty and your hormones are raving and raging and everything else. And he was talking about that famous poster of Farrah Fawcett in the red swimsuit.
Yep.
That like every teenage boy in 1977, 78 had that on their wall. Or they had it under their bed and it was, you know, covered in some type of fucking sticky substance. But anyways, he went on and on and on about how basically that was the motivation he needed to jack off, just looking at that poster. And that made his pillowcase stand up on its own. You know, that was his reference. That, like, the pillowcase was his fee-fee. And for me, I had told him that, you know, for me, is Deliverance, you know, is basically what made my pillowcase stand up on end. If I could just tell you the look on his face, he was fucking mortified. And it was a joke, obviously a disturbing movie, disturbing scene. But I just remember John going, what the fuck did you just say? Like, he was just so shocked. I think if I look back and I say, well, you know, what was your first, you know, Hollywood crush? I think it would have been The Blue Lagoon. Did you ever see that movie?
Maybe. Why does that sound familiar? What it's about? What's the
Brooke Shields and Christopher Atkins. And,
you know,
Christopher Atkins. I'm just saying that video player, that Betamax tape of that movie may or may not have been paused and played in slow motions for certain scenes. Allegedly, Robbie.
Allegedly. Okay.
You know, I know for John, it would have been Farrah Fawcett in the red swimsuit on that poster. For me, maybe Christopher Atkins, maybe. Who was your crush? Who was your, like, when you realized who you were and you're, you know, you're going through this, like, awakening of your sexuality, who was your, like, go-to for, like, video, television, your celebrity crush?
Okay, so I have to tell you, one of my awakenings, it's pretty hilarious because it's been on the internet fairly recently within the last few years. And it's funny that you see it, or I see it, and I think, okay, I'm not the only one. That scene in, is it Batman Begins with Robin? And it's and it shows him in that super tight, like, armor, body armor bullshit with, like, the, why do you need to have such hard nipples on the outside of a costume. Like, I'm not complaining, but I'm just wondering.
Chris O'Donnell.
That was probably a big one. But honestly, like, I'm not a Chris O'Donnell fan, like a huge, like, I'm not like pining after him. But I remember that scene in particular. I think freeze framed that a couple of times just to admire the quality of the suit.
Absolutely, the details and the craftsmanship. I
beautiful. I think it was Italian.
No, I mean, a gay guy notices things like that for sure. Absolutely.
So there was that, and I think the viewers
is this going to be a long list? Is this going to be a whole new episode?
Well, no. Okay, maybe it should be. Shit, I don't know.
Right?
Because, you know, because I also have my pansexual side of me that is attracted to women still.
Oh,
I would have to say,
I don't even understand. Whatever.
I would have to say Kelly Hugh.
As who is that?
Lady Deathstrike from X-Men. She's a woman with those razors that, or like those knives that came out of her fingertips.
Okay,
she
I got to
like
Google
the female Wolverine.
And now, what's her name?
Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, Hugh, H-U.
I'm not a superhero. Okay. So you got the whole Asian thing, huh?
Yes. She was Lady Deathstrike was her X-Men name. And then she was also in the Scorpion King as well. That was great. I don't know. Those were two really big awakenings for me.
Do you know what her first movie was? If you don't know this,
oh,
I'm
God.
Taking away your horror fan card and I'm ripping it fucking to shreds.
Wait.
You have failed me for the last time if you don't know this.
Don't
Google it if you're Googling it, Robbie.
No, I'm not. I'm playing with a little squishy thing.
Is that what we're calling it now?
No, it's you're a talking stress a ball thing. Oh, God. What is it?
All right,
just
so
tell
playing,
me. Oh,
so
Jesus.
You're playing with your balls. Okay. Talking about a girl playing with your weird, fucking weird. I'm out. Friday the 13th, part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. That was her first film credit.
Oh, God. Okay, well, I'm not going to lose sleep over that because it was part, what? Would you say 37? Part 42?
You're not a friend. You're really not. I don't even fucking know you. You know, the more that you're on this podcast, the more disappointing things I find out about you. First of all, it's a gay podcast and you like girls, kind of. You're on the fence. And now you don't know somebody that was in Friday the 13th. My love, my passion, Friday the 13th. Robbie, you have failed me for the last time.
God, use your stiff pillowcase and dry your tears.
Let me pop in Deliverance onto my Betamax. Let me watch it.
Oh, God.
No, she's a very attractive woman, and she's obviously very talented. She's got a lot of credits. And when I first pulled her up, though, I instantly recognized her face from Friday the 13th. That's kind of sad because she's got so many other awesome credits to her name. Pretty sad.
Going back, when you mentioned Deliverance, I never remembered that one of the characters mentions Deliverance in Wrong Turn.
Yeah.
Which I had never... I don't know if I just never caught it because, again, when the girl disappears, the girlfriend disappears and she scares him, I believe, and he says something about, do I need to remind you about Deliverance or something along those lines, which is funny because knowing about the movie, a big inspiration, or two inspirations, if I remember correctly, one of them was the Jesus Christ. It wasn't that. That was an inspiration. It was...
Remember, you're in Utah. Cheese and rice and got dandruff, some of the itches.
It is Sunday, so I guess that, whoops.
Em, I'm going to digress real quick. I was at Red Lobster yesterday with my mom, and we were talking about, in Utah, you can't say fuck. And for years, I would work with all these guys that were Mormon, and they would say fetch. And it would drive me crazy. It's like, the intent is there. Why don't you just say fuck? And they said, oh, no, I can't talk like that. And then they would get mad and say, oh, fetch. Like, all the time, I'm like, I just don't get it. And I finally asked the guy, I said, you know, look, eventually you're going to get married. You're going to get sealed in the temple. You're going to finally be able to take your wife, go to a hotel room. And are you going to fetch her in the ass or fuck her in the ass? Now, you know, a lot of the Mormon younger guys and, you know, the horrified look on their face, just like John Reed, when he heard me talking about Deliverance for the first time in a pillowcase. I had that same look on that, just horror and shock, and you, I need to stay away from you. You're going to burn in hell. So, and now I'm in Florida.
Oh, God. Yeah, that checks out. When you say fetch, it's always, growing up, it was frick.
Now, I wonder where it changed. Where did it evolve?
God, I don't know. It's all terrible. Jesus. Yeah.
Now, did you ever say frick or fetch or got dandruff, some of it itches and cheese and rice?
No.
Now you just said it.
When I was younger, I didn't know. This is how fucking just oblivious I am. I would say, oh, Heavenly Father. And again, I was not even out yet. I think my mom was like, you don't say that. Mormons say that. And so my mom was encouraging
you to cuss.
Well, she didn't want me to say that. I think I should take something else over anything Mormon related. So I remember, I don't know where the fuck I started saying Heavenly Father. Gross. Anyways, bad times, creepy times. But anyways, the film, yeah.
How many of the sequels have you seen to Wrong Turn? Again, the 2003.
Truth be told, I've only seen the original, and I've seen the new one. The newest one that came out, I believe, last year.
Okay. Let's just talk briefly about the sequels to the first one. I've seen, I think, two of them, and I know it's got a huge following, but I was really kind of hoping for them to stay in line with the big budget and the quality from the first one, and I must have been up in the fucking night because they were bad, Robbie. They were really bad. And they got progressively worse.
What?
Shocking. So the first one was so good, and it actually had no nudity, no sex. Well, I mean, it was kind of like they were romantic because you had the couple on the hood of the vehicle when the other people take off, but they never showed any nudity or anything. The other movies made up for that, but they were just so terrible. They were really just bad. You lucked out, and I was an idiot. I figured that, oh, it'll be just like the Friday the 13th. I'll love them all. No, definitely not. What did you think of the remake? Reboot, right?
Reboot. There you go. Yeah. I think I told you this before. I don't think it was on one of the podcasts, but I believe I told you that I hadn't seen it yet, but we were going to watch it, and this was closer to Halloween, I believe. Truth be told, I went in thinking it's going to be shit. I'm going to be disappointed. It's going to be a sad attempt. And after watching it, I was actually somewhat surprised.
Huh.
The ending, I was not my favorite. I felt like that was a bit of a stretch. And I know we're talking about the 20th installment of this series, but I really enjoyed that it had a gay couple in it. That was fucking awesome. I loved it. It was inclusive. I saw myself in the movie kind of thing. But the ending, it was cultish, if I remember correctly. She, like, blending in as one of them, and it kind of lost me, but nonetheless, I thought it was pretty decent. I was surprised at what I watched in a good way. What about you?
At about the 40-minute mark, maybe it was like 42-minute mark, I started drinking Drano. I really fucking hated it, Robbie.
Really?
Yeah. I turned it off before I was actually dead. For the record, if you ever have any thoughts or feelings that you cannot deal with on your own, please contact somebody to help you out. I need to throw that out there because we don't want any of our listeners to ever make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Life can get better. It will get better. So don't ever do that. I never drank Drano. I just thought about it because I hated the movie so fucking bad.
I don't know where to go from here.
Pop in Deliverance, fast forward to about the 40-minute mark. Have some lubricant. I just was not a fan. Now, when you were talking about the fact that it had a gay couple, again, we've talked about this in the past with our podcast and how they've started to become inclusive to gay couples. And I know a lot of people, I have friends and they just bitch and rant, Robbie, about the fact that it's wrong, that Hollywood is changing and they're becoming woke. In the movie It and Halloween Kills, you had gay couples.
Yep.
I think, of course, you know, because we're part of that gay community, I thought it was pretty cool, too, that it had become mainstream. And I know that there's somebody out there going, oh, they're bringing faggots into the movies mainstream. They're trying to recruit. And I don't see it that way. I did not care for the couple in Halloween Kills, Big John and Little John.
Correct.
I thought that was ridiculous. But in It, I thought it was really, really well done with the gay couple. Did the gay couple get killed in Wrong Turn, the remake or reboot?
Yes, they got their asses murdered. Well, one of them got murdered or killed. I think, if I remember correctly, for some reason, that giant log trap mechanism, that booby trap, that was set, that log that rolled down the entire hill that had no trees, apparently, to stop it, ended up killing one of the gays, and then the other gay was losing his shit.
So literally, there was a gay bashing. It just happened to be a log. Is that in poor taste? Did I take your breath away?
I love that you just make yourself giggle. I love fact that you just can't wait to get these little markisms out and just like I could see on the other side of me like I can't wait, what is he gonna say to this?
I do remember the fact that he got killed and he got logged. I had forgotten that up until you describing his death. I'm like, oh, that's right. He was one of the gay guys. And the other guy was like heartbroken. They probably had been dating for 24 hours like most gay relationships. I don't know why he was so devastated, right?
I think they just hooked up on the trail. He was just a hitchhiker.
They were on Grindr and he was the only one available in 30 miles.
So, in West Virginia.
Exactly. It's so fucked up.
Terrible. We're terrible gays.
I know. And listen, we joke, we laugh. Clearly, I'm a gay guy. Look, you know, for the record, I've sucked dick. I fucked guys in the ass. I'm totally cool with the gay thing. So.
I would hope so. Jesus.
This has really gone off the rails tonight.
But yes.
You like the Wrong Turn reboot. Maybe I'll go back and I'll finish watching it. I don't know.
It wasn't bad enough to have me turn it off. Anytime there's a movie that I'm watching that I'm trying to give it its chance, I consider that a decent movie or an okay movie. Okay. Because I've told you the ones that I really enjoy make me feel something. I get a physical or an emotional response from watching it, which in this case, even watching Wrong Turn recently, the original, the, you know, the sheriff with the arrow to the eye, watching fucking Eliza Angel Dushku jump from the watchtower and fucking nail that goddamn tree branch, and like, I could feel the wind getting knocked out of me and seeing her like spin around the branch for a split second. All of this shit, I love that. This one, not so much. I like that it was a newer take, a fresh take, a modern day take. It had a really good budget. Everything looked really good. But then it got a little into that culty slash like the village. These people have been living out in the middle of nowhere privately and trying to recruit people that they've captured or whatever. So I don't know. That kind of made me lose a little bit.
Yeah, that
I watched it in completion and I was like, okay, I've watched it. It was decent. The end.
There's a movie that I'm thinking of, and I think that you and I have talked about it, and it's in regards to cults. When you had talked about this new Wrong Turn and the fact that it's kind of like a cult quality to the storyline. Midsommar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did Midsommar. He did Hereditary. I was not a huge fan of Hereditary, but Midsommar, I almost walked out of the theater because it creeped me out. It was way too real in regards to cults. I'm fascinated by cults. I love to read about them, and I try to understand how people can fall into. Like, I understand if you're raised in a cult from a child, you don't know any better. But how Correct. An adult can get pulled in. And I, you know, of course, I look at Scientology and people go out to Los Angeles and they want to be an actor. And it's like, oh, well, John Travolta's in this. Tom Cruise is in this. Well, I want to be like those guys. And it's like, oh, we can help you get there. You know, we have this thing called The Bridge. And I see where people get pulled in. But if you start watching the videos on YouTube and these people that are involved with Scientology, it just blows my mind. It's fascinating. So Midsommar, as you see these characters getting brainwashed or accept this weird shit as normal, it really hit close to home. And I remember the movie theater I was at, and I was very uncomfortable watching it. They did a great job.
What, Mark? I don't think I've ever heard you say anything like that before.
It was very disturbing. Now I love to watch it. But that opening sequence with the girl that's got the mental illness killing her her parents, the sister is trying to message her and she's not responding. And they do that slow motion sequence with the firemen going in with their full gear on to clear the house from the carbon monoxide. Holy shit, Robbie, that is just too real.
I need to watch this again. Because yeah. I don't recall that.
It's very, very, very well done. As far as a horror movie, because a horror movie is supposed to kind of like, you know, if it's got a dark ending, like a nobody wins ending, like Jeepers Creepers, then that's a horror movie. That's genuinely.
Yes.
It's not like, you know, the lead actress wins and the killer is dead and yay, a new day is tomorrow. No, that's not, in my opinion, not a true horror movie. One that ends where, like, the killer gets away with it like the creeper does with Jeepers Creepers. Yeah.
That's interesting. I like that concept where when nobody wins, I like that. That's pretty cool.
The monster gets away. And, of course, that's more terrifying because it's like, oh, fuck, it's out there. You know, they didn't catch it.
Yeah.
You didn't see it die. And then that night you go to sleep and there's a scratching at the window. It's like, what the fuck was that?
Damn, Mark, that is really, I don't want to say profound because that makes me sound like an asshole, but that is, that's cool. Like, as an example, like what you just brought up when you said Jeepers Creepers, when he's nailed to the barn wall, mm-hmm. and it's like a waiting game. Like, yeah. In, what is it, 23 years? Or
yeah.
Was that right?
Yeah.
23 years?
What is it, like spring? Every 23 years in the spring, it has to feed again?
Yeah, and it's just like, you're waiting. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's really, fuck, that's really cool. I like that.
Maybe next time, that's what we have to talk about. Jeepers Creepers. The fourth Jeepers Creepers came out recently. Did you see that one?
I have not. I love Jeepers Creepers. I really, really do.
I do too.
So I'm nervous. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
And
I was eyeing that bottle of bleach about 10 minutes into it.
Fuck. Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah. Okay.
Oh no, I didn't finish it. It was just and the thing is D. Wallace is in the opening sequence of that. You know, we love Dee Wallace from Cujo and The Howling and E.T. And I've met her at a convention, and she's that person. She's like your mom. You love her. You go up and you talk to her, and she doesn't give you canned answers. She doesn't say, oh, that's so nice, and oh, that's so sweet. No, she like genuinely wants to know who you are and where you're from, and she's just a sweetheart of a lady. I love her.
And she signed up for that, and it tanked.
Well, you know, and, well, she's an actress, and, you know, maybe she only read, like, the first 10 pages, and she's like, oh, this looks pretty good. I'll do this first 10 pages. She, you know, she has no idea that the thing's a total piece of shit after that.
Did it even make up in the box office its cost?
I think that it was kind of like one of those special showings for, like, one night, and then it was direct-to-video or on-demand. It was not a regular release. In fact, I don't think there's been a regular release since the second one with Jeepers Creepers. Part three, again, was a special showing, like, you know, one or two nights. And then it was, you know, video and video on demand.
I'm not going to lie. I don't think I've seen the third one.
The third one had a lot of CGI. The creeper changed to a red shirt. You know, I don't know if he's trying to make a fashion statement or when he comes back to life on that 23rd spring, that was the only thing left at the DI. He's wearing a red shirt. He is still the same actor. Jonathan Breck played him in the third one. But in this fourth one, I can't remember what country they filmed it in. A different look for the creeper, a different actor playing the creeper. So much CGI. Like, everything was green screen, Robbie. It was seriously, the budget on this would have been like the budget of the Dukes of Hazzard episode 10. It was really bad.
Gross. the girls in it, Trisha's in it, it says.
The
newest? Third installment.
Three is worth watching. The fourth one where they filmed it in a faraway country in front of a green screen. The third one's worth watching, especially if you watch the fourth one, you're going to think the third one should have gotten like an Oscar nod. Because the fourth one is just so shitty. It's so
God. Oh, IMDb 2.5 out of 10.
That's way too high.
Too much credit for there.
Yeah.
It's bad. Dee Wallace.
I'm going to say like the first 10 minutes was worth watching is because I love Dee Wallace. I loved her in The Howling. I loved her. Of course, we all loved her in E.T. We loved her. We all loved her in Cujo, although I think she was, her character should have just left the kid and then, you know, she would have been fine.
You just gave me shit about leaving people behind. A mother leaving her child behind.
You have a heart. I have a gigantic piece of black coal in my chest that pumps liquid through my body like Satan.
I thought you were going in a different direction when you said gigantic. Anyways, continue.
But no, you seriously, you're a sweet guy. You're a nice guy. I'm that jaded, evil prison guard that lives in Florida, which is basically hell. So that's why I give you shit about it. You can't leave somebody behind. Leave that up to me, Robbie.
You left me behind. I know.
I'll leave. I will leave the asthmatic kid in the car for the dog to take care of, and then I'll get the fuck out of there. Yes, I said it. Okay, I'm being honest. Honest to a fault. No, we all know I would not leave the kid behind.
You're just trying to say that now. Cover your ass.
I know.
You would.
You made me feel bad.
Okay, good.
As I should. Any other final thoughts on Wrong Turn? I'm just going to say this real quick. For people that have not seen it, at this point, it's not even worth watching because we've spoiled the whole fucking movie.
Still watch it, though. It is so fucking good.
Yeah, bring somebody who hasn't seen it and then don't tell them and just watch because it's really fun to watch somebody else in this movie.
I remember looking up some trivia on IMDb and some other websites, some little tidbits. The pretty boy, the main pretty boy, I'm just going to go based off of what I think of him.
Are we talking about Kev?
No. The other one that was actually worth looking at.
Go ahead, sorry. Jeremy Sisto or Sisto or... That's who you're talking about?
Whatever, yeah, whoever it was.
His name was Scott.
Scott.
Jeremy Sisto is the actor's name.
Okay. Scott Flynn, I think was his name.
I don't know the last name.
Ah, shit. The doctor, when he gets shot in the back of the leg when he's running away like a little idiot, he snapped his ankle while filming.
Oh, really?
And the hobbling that he does was from him actually in pain and not able to put weight on his leg while they were filming because he broke his ankle.
Shit. I did not know that. Very cool.
And Lil fucking crybaby bitch girl.
Carly.
Yep. Thank you. She dislocated her arm performing the stunt where they were jumping from the watchtower to the tree. And they said in the original filming, or in the original, I guess, soundtrack, or I guess the just audio, it popping out when she performed that stunt, which of course they just popped it back in. Yeah, she actually hurt herself. She dislocated her shoulder, or dislocated her arm or whatever. Yeah, I guess it would be shoulder, at the shoulder. There was that, and then most of the cast and crew were exposed to poison ivy while filming. Because they assumed it was weeds and just brush, but they had all been setting their chairs and walking in and out of the brush, which happened to be poison ivy. So they were almost all exposed and had rashes and were all suffering from exposure to it. So I thought that was pretty fucking awesome. I just love little shit like that. Like, if you're going to be out in the elements, you're going to be out in the elements. Like, you're going to roll ankles, you know, break ankles, dislocate shit. I love that. I love knowing that I can leave a film and be like, I actually got my ass kicked filming this movie, so I hope you enjoy it.
Can you imagine the whole time you're acting, like, ankles are itching so fucking bad because of poison ivy? That would suck really bad.
I think that's what makes it even better, because when I heard that and I was watching the film, I'd researched that and was watching the film, I remember thinking, if it were me and your role is, oh, your person, your character has just been shot in the back of the leg, you've trying to heal it as best as you can, how do you portray that consistently throughout the film? So I thought I would go as far as, you know, which I'm assuming most actors would do, is, yeah, I would put shit in my shoe, or not shit in my shoe, but I'd put like rocks or fucking goat heads or something in my shoe so I couldn't be load bearing on that leg. And so I just thought about that while I'm watching it, and I thought, yeah, I don't know.
You want to stay in character, because you see that all the time in spoilers. Like, if you watch a character through a movie and he's been injured and halfway through the movie and all of a sudden he's walking normal, 2 minutes later, and then he's limping, and then he's walking normal, and then he's limping. People catch that shit.
Yeah. Me, I do. But anyways, that was just last little bit. Was I think it's fucking awesome. I don't want to say it's awesome when people hurt themselves, but I think it is just those little things that when you get your ass handed to you while filming and you still push through and film or do what you need to do, it plays really well on film. And again, I think Wrong Turn was done extremely, extremely well, and there was no need for nudity or sex scenes. It was, you know, implied at moments, especially at the very beginning. It survived on its own, just from the creepiness, the mountain men / the visuals of a body in the tub that's like slowly decaying, and all the immense amount of cars and possessions. The way they did it was great.
I cannot agree with you enough. I think this movie was top-notch, A1. The only thing I could disagree with you on is when you talk about the fact that there was no nudity. Clearly, you should have seen Kev full frontal, at least just for, like, you know, 10 minutes or so. Then it would have been probably the best movie ever made.
I gotta go. And
don't be a downer, okay? You admit it, Robbie. Kev is like the greatest thing since sliced bread. We all love little Kev.
I'm going to go watch Scorpion King and or X-Men and see Kelly Hugh on screen.
No girl talk. You're freaking me out, Rob.
That'd be a first. Shit.
Well, I guess we're going to wrap up this episode. Look for different wardrobe items that I have that'll be on the social media, the Facebook, the Instagram, and the Twitter for the Gay Florida Man podcast. I will put on some wardrobe that I've got from this movie. Awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Hopefully we haven't ruined it for you. Robbie would say check out the reboot. I would say not a fan. Definitely Wrong Turn 2003. Awesome film. Well, Robbie, we've come to the end of our podcast, and you know what I'm going to say, right?
No, I'm mostly drunk when we do this. What do you say?
Well, take a shot for me, because I'm going to say, remember to be good, and if you can't be good at it, and if you're sitting in prison, you're probably not good at it. Have a good night, everybody.